My name is Robin Steinwand. I'm here representing the Primary Care Coalition of Montgomery County and our partners at the University of Maryland FNEP program. Montgomery County is, just to go back a second, Montgomery County is located just north of the District of Columbia. We're a county with a very large low-income immigrant population, and we estimate approximately 100,000 uninsured residents. I'm going to be talking today about a unique approach that we designed to address childhood obesity in our county. It's a program in which providers, Care for Kids providers, refer children who are already overweight or obese. It is a family-centered model, culturally relevant to the population that we serve, and it uses an evidence-based curriculum. The Primary Care Coalition of Montgomery County was established as a nonprofit organization with a mission to lead the development and coordination of a community-based healthcare system that strives for universal access and the elimination of health disparities for all county residents. We administer, among our many programs, we administer two county-funded programs to provide healthcare for the uninsured. The first, which provides healthcare for uninsured adults, works through 10 community-based clinics. Of particular relevance to this presentation is our Care for Kids program. Care for Kids is a children's health care program providing access to medical and dental services for low-income families who do not have health insurance and are otherwise not eligible for state and federal programs. We annually serve approximately 2,900 children. Our partners at the University of Maryland work with the Expanded Food and Nutrition Education Program, or FNEP, and the Maryland Cooperative Extension. Together, these two programs bring a wealth of expertise in community nutrition and outreach. They've done a great deal of program and curriculum design, and particularly have done award-winning work with our target community of Latinos in Montgomery County. Now, why would we be doing an obesity program in Montgomery County? Well, we know, and Maria gave an excellent overview of the state of childhood obesity at a national level. We know that approximately 16% and growing of children across the country are obese. An additional probably 16 or more percent are overweight. And I'm using the latest guidelines from the AMA Expert Committee in talking about obesity and overweight as the newer terms. What we don't have is local and state data to compare to that that's readily available. But we do have WIC data, and we can compare the WIC data for the nation with Maryland and see that it's approximately equivalent. And Montgomery County has been noted to be have the highest levels of obesity among all the counties in Maryland. So recognizing that this was a problem, a local problem that mirrored the problem across the country, we set out to design and implement a program for low-income, overweight, and obese children. A little bit about our program methodology. We began with a chart review to identify our target population. We conducted focus groups within that population to inform our program design. We developed a component that would integrate the work of our healthcare providers, inventoried existing programs and curricula, and finally partnered with the University of Maryland for curriculum design. We conducted a Care for Kids chart review in October 2003. And what was most striking in all of the children that we looked at, both all ethnicities and from 2 to 19 years old, were the children, the Latino-Hispanic children in the Care for Kids community in the 6 to 11-year age group. Their numbers, not only their prevalence of obesity and overweight, brought them to more than half of all children in that population who were in the over 85% of BMI for age category. Those numbers far surpassed the national data. This led us to select as our pilot population Hispanic children from 6 to 11 years old. We approached our Care for Kids families to identify children who were both overweight and within normal range and include them and parent groups in our focus group study. We were able to supplement the findings with an intake survey. Those findings gave us a lot of information on food selection habits and difficulties with maintaining weight and other choices that were made within this community. We also learned that it was very important to include the family in our design. In developing our program, we wanted very much to include the Care for Kids providers. Since we had a population that had a very high level of overweight and obesity, we felt it was really important to have this medical component. And you can see from the slide that our Care for Kids provider network gives us access to a variety of different clinic settings where these providers work. We wanted the providers to do appropriate assessment and to provide follow-up to guide behavior change and also to monitor for comorbidities. We inventoried existing programs, and we were looking for, in 2004, a program that met our needs and had a really catchy message and would really appeal, and we could adapt to meet our needs in a very simple way. But unfortunately, in 2004, we weren't able to find a model that addressed all of the components that we wanted and that particularly that had a provider tie-in. Fortunately, we have just down the street the University of Maryland with all of its capacity for program design and curriculum design, and so we worked with them to develop the curriculum in the class. They developed an evidence-based curriculum using the most recently distributed 2005 dietary guidelines, and what we've developed is a healthy lifestyle program. It is not a weight loss program. It's family-centered. We invite at least one parent and as many other siblings and adults who in the family who would like to attend as are able. It is culturally relevant to the population that we serve. And when I say this, understand that sometimes our population covers many different countries from South and Central America. So it's an ever-changing process, and we really have to be in touch with those populations to make sure that it matches their needs and their background. We specifically decided to make this a dual language program. We offer everything in the class in both Spanish and English. The children in our classes, because they're learning English in school, are often much more comfortable in English, though Spanish is spoken in the house. The parents are more comfortable in Spanish, but they're all trying to learn to navigate the market and the U.S. system in English. Our staff has been trained by the University of Maryland to conduct this curriculum. We wanted to come up with a name, and I hope by now you're all wondering what 7331 Healthy Families Having Fun stands for. The 7331 mirrors the recommendations of the 2005 dietary guidelines for our target age group, the 7 to 11 year olds is the way it is on the food pyramid, in terms of both dietary and physical activity guidelines. And the name translated rather nicely into Spanish, 7331 sean una familia activa y sana. We wanted something that would be catchy and that would grab people's attention. The program consists of 6 interactive classes, including in every class a family activity, fun physical activity that the parents and the children participate in together, and nutrition and hands-on food preparation. Our evaluation design looked at our goals and objectives for both the participants and for our Care for Kids providers. We wanted to have evidence that attendance, by having a high attendance, we were hoping for evidence that the program met people's perceived needs, and we were looking for behavior changes. We wanted our providers to refer according to the guidelines and to provide follow-up at a minimum of 3, 6, and 12 months. We developed a variety of evaluation tools from the beginning of the program, but we added a few, including the phone interviews with participants and providers, as the program went on and we needed more information. The results I'm going to present to you are for our 3 pilot series of 6 classes each. We had sought 60% attendance, and from the literature we know that what constitutes success, particularly in minority and immigrant communities, is the ability to enroll and to retain. And this is especially true with a voluntary program like ours. We found that of the 30 children we enrolled, 57% of those attended 5 to 6 classes, and we felt that this really showed that we were offering a service that was valued by the community we were working with. They attended an average of 5 classes each, and I have to apologize. Somehow we got 5 classes worth of family participation in here. The actual family numbers were 51 for the 30 children. We're averaging about 2 family members per child. So for every class of 10 children, it's between 25 and 30 people attending. And the father attendance is something we're also quite proud of. In this Latino community, the fathers have been wonderful and have attended on a regular basis. We were able to look at self-reported behavior change and understanding some of the limitations with that, but we did find that 79% of children increased their fruit and vegetable intake, 92% of families lowered the fat content of the milk that they had in the household and that the children were drinking regularly, 74% of families said that they now regularly engage in physical activity together, much more than they were before, and we were very pleased to see that almost twice as many families have now set television and screen time limits for their children. The provider referral and follow-up was perhaps the most challenging component of this program, and we recognize that we need to continue to focus on strengthening this as we go forward. We did get BMI for age data supplied for 87% of the children who enrolled, and 74% of the families said that yes, when they went back to see the provider, the Care for Kids provider, they had the messages reinforced by the provider from the program. In looking at children who stayed with Care for Kids at least a year past their enrollment in the program, we know that they averaged 3 encounters with the provider over the year after they finished the classes. What we don't really know, we need more information to know what the content of those consultations was and whether there was true reinforcement. We looked at satisfaction with the program by both participants and providers. We know the program was universally appreciated, and parents especially like learning to read food labels. This is a great empowering tool for them as they navigate this system. The providers were also very happy with the resource that this provided for them to refer children that they found who were overweight and obese when they consulted. And they have unanimously requested that we expand the program to other target groups. Some of our challenges and learnings. We know that the provider component is extremely important when dealing with children who are already overweight and obese. We would like to better assess the quality of patient follow-up and some of the outcomes, and we're developing materials that will support the provider and patient interaction. Some of that refers to the need to continually assess readiness for change. We're developing both for the providers and for our own teams better ways to assess the readiness of our families to participate and to make those behavior changes. And we know that community-based learnings are a continual process. We started with focus group research, but we are constantly, during the classes and after, maintaining communication with the families to be sure that we're meeting their needs and not giving them just a program that has a standard curriculum. In conclusion, we know there exists a need for programs to address children who are already overweight and obese. From a third to half of all of our children are already there, and so we need this to supplement those wonderful prevention programs that are in the community. The family involvement was a crucial element of our success, and we really believe that the elementary school age, supplemented with all of the support from family members, both younger and older siblings and parents, is very important. It's a good age for these kids to learn. They're willing to learn. They're excited about it. And going forward, we're really looking forward to expanding this to other target populations. We've expanded to the medical assistance community, and we're making plans to open this program to an English language population, primarily African American and African and Caribbean immigrants. I'd like to thank our funders and our many collaborators, and I would also like to acknowledge from the Primary Care Coalition my colleague Maria Triantis and the University of Maryland FNEP program, Denise Benoit and Dr. Mira Mehta. Please see our website for more information on the program and on the many things that the Primary Care Coalition does. I left some handouts in the back if you're interested, or I would be happy to talk with you afterward. Thank you.